Now, this morning, we celebrate three things in our church. The first is actually a feast of the Lord, the feast of the circumcision of Christ, which took place 8 days after the Nativity. Now, why is this important? It's important because circumcision was a sign that the people, that one was God's child. When God made a covenant with Abraham in the Old Testament, he said there is a sign by which all the people are marked. And it's the sign of circumcision done on all the male children. So Jesus was following the Jewish law. He came into the world for our salvation, but the first thing he was going to do was he was going to follow the law of God. So he received this ritual done on the eighth day of his, after his nativity. Now, the Bible also says that at that time, he was given the name Jesus, the name that the angel had given him when he was in the womb. Now, scripturally, if Jesus received his name on the eighth day of his life, we receive our name on the eighth day of our life. Why is that important? Because they're actually, one of the ideologies that has come to us from Greece is that we don't use someone's name until they're baptized. Not true. Not scriptural. Scripturally speaking, we use the name after the eighth day of a child's life. Jesus was not baptized until he was 30 years old. So he had a name before 30 years old. Some of you that come from the old country, they call a child Beba or baby, and they don't use the name until they're baptized. And then at the baptism, the priest will say to the godparents, what name do you give the child? And everyone waits with bated breath to see what name you're going to give them. This is actually a cultural custom that snuck in there at some point. Scripturally, the name is given by the parents, not given by the godparents, and it's given on the eighth day, not at baptism. Now, the second thing we're celebrating today is the feast of St. Basil. St. Basil is a hierarch of the church. He has the title the Great. When we hear about the three hierarchs of the church, St. Basil is one of them, together with St. John Chrysostom and St. Gregory the Theologian. St. Basil is featured prominently in most churches, including ours. There are three stained glass windows in the back of the altar. St. Basil is on one of them. On the pulpit here, there is the icon of the Lord and three other saints. That's St. Basil, St. Gregory the Theologian, and St. John Chrysostom. Now, those three are three of the greatest preachers in our church. They all lived during the 4th century, and they all wrote a divine liturgy. St. James wrote the first liturgy, in about the year 70 AD. St. Basil ended that in the mid-4th century, and we celebrated his liturgy today. And St. John Chrysostom further edited Basil's liturgy about 10 years after Basil wrote his liturgy. And so the liturgy that we're celebrating on Sundays, most of the time, is St. John Chrysostom, and the liturgy of St. Basil is done 10 times a year, including today, his feast day, on Christmas, on Epiphany, on Holy Thursday, on Holy Saturday, and on the 5 Sundays of Great Lent. Now, the difference between the liturgy of Basil and the liturgy of Chrysostom is that the prayers being offered by the priest, the silent mystical prayers, are much more lengthy. And so in the pews, we put a handout that has some of those prayers in it. The Anaphora of St. Basil, which is from the Creed until about the Lord's Prayer, if you were to look at those prayers, there actually is the most complete theology of our church. If you want to understand what it is that Christians believe, just read the prayers in the Anaphora of St. Basil, and you would have an entire understanding of the history of salvation. That's how complete and spirit-inspired this service is, to have been written 1,600 years ago and still being offered today. St. Basil also was a philanthropist. He was going from place to place, and he was giving money to people who were poor. And he was doing that by putting money in a loaf of bread and throwing the bread through the window, especially of people who were widows and orphans. And so this is where we get the tradition of the Vasilopita. that many of you will have today. You have the bread with a coin in it. That's from St. Basil. But the coin was to give to those who were in need. Now we have the coin for good luck. Again, a cultural thing that has snuck into our theology. But the initial Vasilopita was to benefit those who were poor. St. Basil is a friend of the orphans and a friend of the neglected and the needy, is the founder of the modern Philoptos Society. So when we have the Philoptos, the philanthropic arm of the church, the founder of that is St. Basil. And the other thing that St. Basil is the founder of is of monasticism, the tradition of the monastic life where there are convents and monasteries. St. Basil wrote a lot of the rules that dictate how the life of the monastics are going to go. So that's why we celebrate St. Basil. And of course, the third thing we gather for today is to ring in the new year in a spiritual way. I haven't actually stayed up on New Year's for several years now. When you have a little child and the child goes to bed, and then you tend to go to bed and you say, "Thank God he goes to bed early." But last night we actually stayed up and watched the ball drop in Times Square. And we saw all the confetti and we saw all the people going crazy there. And I thought to myself as I was watching this, you know, I'm so glad that the first thing that we do in the Orthodox world is that we go to church on New Year's. And we don't thank God with confetti and frivolousness. We don't ring in the year like that, but we thank God that we see another year. We thank God that our lives have been extended to see another year. And we think about the possibilities of this year. We reflect on how we grew last year and things we want to do different. And we look forward and anticipate, and we ask for God's blessings on a new year. And thank God He has given us demarcation points, especially in new years, to start new habits. The year is not even 12 hours old yet. Hopefully nobody has gotten into an argument with anyone today. Hopefully, so you can see how long that can go. Hopefully no one has used foul language yet today. So you haven't used foul language in the new year. So see how far that can go. You haven't missed a Sunday of worship in the new year. You're one for one. So then you see how far that can go. So we don't talk about last year. How many Sundays did I miss? The prayer I offered at the end of the liturgy even tells us, forget about last year, forgive whatever happened, and focus on the new year. So everybody's one for one in worshiping on Sunday. Everybody's one for one in terms of praying, as we all prayed this morning. Many of you are one for one in receiving communion. Hopefully everybody's 0 for getting angry. Hopefully everybody's 0 for road rage. Everyone's 0 for failure to exercise, eating unhealthy, and all the other bad things that we do. So let's see how long we can go without succumbing to these old habits, and let's see how far we can go by doing the good things that we've all done already this year, the most important of which is coming to church to thank God for the new year and to ask God to bless us in this coming week. So I pray that this will be a good year for you. I pray that God would bless us with peace and with joy and with health. And I pray that next year, on New Year's Day, we'll be standing here again, thanking God, all of us, for a wonderful 2012. That I pray that it will be for everyone. God bless you. Thank you for bringing in the new year in the right way. Praying God, thanking God for the new year, and praying in Him to bless the year that is to come. God bless you. Que tu chrono.